And so one day a pastor was in the lobby of the church, and he noticed that there was this little boy standing in front of this wall filled with plaques. And he walks over and he goes, "Bobby, what are you doing?" And Bobby's looking up at this wall of plaques and going, "What is all this?" And the pastor says, "Well, Bobby, these are the names of the people who died in the service." And Bobby's eyes got really big and he said, "What service? The 9 o'clock or the 11 o'clock?" Well, I assure you that won't happen here at Unity of Bellevue. we'll try to keep you alive, alert, awake in every single service. But we have been spending the last month, several weeks of this month, talking about our new purpose statement and core values and our vision statement that the visioning team has developed since our day of discovery in March. They've taken all that information and put together this wonderful document. We asked you for your feedback. We've been handing it out over the last several weeks, asking you to give us feedback on it. And many of you did, so thank you so much. You still have today to do that, so there'll be some visioning team members in the atrium after service, and you can pick up one of those forms that has all the our purpose, vision, and core values, and a feedback form, and fill out your feedback form today. The team is meeting on Tuesday, and we're going to be looking over all of your comments, so just thank you so much for your feedback. Because once we are clear on who we are, then we can set our intention, and then we begin to live into that. And we begin to build the energy, and we begin to attract to us whatever it is we need to bring forth that which we have stated as our purpose and our vision. You know, and then we begin to live into the flow of life, right? And that's why it's important for all of us, personally and as a spiritual community, to have a very clear purpose and vision. And that's why we've been spending these several weeks talking about our core values and our purpose statement, you know, and why it's important to us as a spiritual community. But today I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about what it means to thrive no matter what. To thrive no matter what. Now, you may think this is a talk on money, getting more money or getting more things. Goodness, we don't need any more stuff. But no, that's not what thriving is all about. You know, it's so much more than that. There was a study that was well documented in research journals that talks about infants in orphanages tend to be lethargic, smaller in stature, and have weaker vital signs. And even though they're given all of the physical needs, food, drink, medical care, being kept clean, they still don't thrive. But the study says if someone holds them and caresses these children, rocks them, gently talks to them, and loves them, these children begin to gain weight and their health dramatically improves. Well, we assume it's because we've given them massive amounts of love, right? That love is the key. But we know, coming to Unity, to a church like this, we know that we are spiritual beings created by God, whole and complete. Nothing needs to be added to us, only released. And so what we need to do, we need the love that is within us, that love needs to be released from within us. And love is one of the core values here at Unity of Bellevue. So let's rethink this story about the children. You know, the children got healthier not because they were loved. No, they got healthier because they were given the opportunity to love. Big difference, huge difference. You know, they didn't need any love given to them. We don't need any love given to us. We've got all the love that we have. We're whole and complete just as we are, as God created us. But what happened was they needed to let the love that is within them be released. You know, we thrive when we express the love that is already within us. We think we're empty, but we're filled. We have to express that love that is within us. And that's what happened to these children. They were given that wonderful opportunity to love. Eric Butterworth writes in The Flow of Life, my book of the month, he says, there is a flow of harmony and love everywhere, whether you are consciously moving in it or not. Doesn't matter whether you acknowledge it or not, it's there. That flow of love is always there. That is what the omnipresence of God means. Eric then goes on to say, you are in the flow, and the flow is in you every moment and in every experience. Whether you know it or not, whether you're conscious of it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, it doesn't matter. The flow is there. It's in you every moment. You are in the flow, and the flow is in you every single moment of the day and in every single experience. And so we thrive when we're consciously in that flow, when we allow love to pour out of the heart of God into our heart, and when we allow the love within us to flow out to the hearts of everyone around us. Then we step into and we become one with the divine energy flow of God. Then we're in the flow as that love is flowing from the heart of God to us and from us to everyone else. And then that's when we thrive, no matter what. Our relationships will thrive. Our careers will thrive. Our bank accounts will thrive. Our spiritual community will thrive. Remember, love can only be released. Can't be given to you or added. You've got all the love that you could ever need or want. But love's got to be released from you. And we express, true love is expressed not to be reciprocated. We think that in a loving relationship, we think, well, we've got to reciprocate it. No. We need to love so that we can feel fully alive. We need to release that love. And the love I'm talking about is pure love, Christ love, unconditional love. No strings attached, no conditions. It's not, well, if you do this and you do this, then I'll love you. No. It's not that at all. It's I love you no matter what. I love you because I have to. It's who I am. I have to love you. I have to love myself, and I have to release that love from within me in order for me to feel fully alive and for me to thrive. That's where it all happens. It happens in that releasing of the love from within us, not waiting for anybody to give it to you, but releasing the love that is already within you. Now, Jesus was a master teacher. He was able to meet people exactly where they were. And one of the major forms of his teaching was in parables. And so a parable is an evocative story that suggests more than it says. You know, it kind of teases your imagination into action, and you hear whatever it is you need to hear. That's why every time you read a parable or hear a parable that Jesus taught, you hear it differently. Depends on what you need in the moment. That's what you hear. And so one of my favorite parables is the parable of the sower. And I want to read this to you. I'm reading from the Message Bible. It's one of my favorite versions of the Bible. It's so readable. And this is Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, starting at verse 3. And now listen carefully. A farmer planted seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell on the road and birds came and ate it. Some fell in the gravel. It sprouted up quickly but didn't put any roots down, and so when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell in the weeds. It came up, but then it was strangled by the weeds. Some fell on good earth and produced a harvest beyond his wildest imagination. Are you listening to this? Really, really listening? Simple parable, simple image. Let's talk about this parable metaphysically, a la unity. Right? In unity, we look at the Bible metaphysically. We look at the Bible as to how is this have relevancy in my life today. And what is the symbols? What does this mean to me? So the seed is always being sown. You know, in Jesus' time, when he was teaching, he was talking to a lot of farmers, so he used this image. But the farmers of that day, they didn't have the mechanical equipment like the farmers have in today's world. They had a little bag or a basket that they would carry around with seed. They would take a handful of seed. They would then scatter it or broadcast it around. And some of that seed fell exactly where they wanted it. Some of the seed fell on rockier soil. Some seed fell along the edge of the field and it got into the brambles and the thorns. And some of it fell on their pathway. So this was a common picture at this time for a very common experience. And so let's look at the elements of this story metaphysically. What do they represent? You know, the seed represents love. The seed is love. So there's love is being broadcast all the time. The seed is being sown. And who do you think the sower is? Take a guess. No. God. The sower is God. So God is sowing, and eventually us, but in this case, God is sowing the seed of love all the time. Love is being broadcast to us all the time. We live in this field of infinite possibilities. And what we do with that seed of love is up to you. What you do with that seed of love, it's up to you. It's being broadcast and scattered all the time. We're being fed love all the time. It's who we are. What we do with that seed of love is up to us. And so the soil where the seed falls represents our consciousness. And so Jesus is saying there's four types of soil that the seed of love could fall on. You know, and the soil represents states of consciousness and our awareness. So if the seed of love is the same, but the soil, the consciousness, is different, then it will yield varying yield and quality of the crops. And so the harvest depends totally on the quality of the soil. And so let's look at these four types of soil that Jesus says the seed of love can be sown in. And let's see what happens. The first soil that he talks about is that the seed fell on the path and birds came and ate it. And so we have this path. Jesus says that there's this soil that the seed falls on that's trodden on, it's beaten down, it's hard as a rock. You know, and the seed falls there, has absolutely no chance of taking root, so the birds come and get it. And what this is talking about is that many of us have hardened our hearts. You know, we've shut down, we've closed off our heart. You know, maybe we were disappointed, maybe we had lots of hurts. But we've built this wall up and we won't allow anybody in. And the thing we need to understand is that, you know, a hardened heart is not only hardened to pain, but it's also hardened to everything potentially good. And so in this consciousness, you can scatter the seeds of love all you want in your life, but you're not going to let anyone in. It's a hardened heart. It's that path that's been beaten down. Second kind of soil, or the second kind of consciousness, Jesus said the seed fell on rocky ground, and since the soil was shallow, it just couldn't take root. And so, friends, you know, this happens to some of us in metaphysical circles. We jump into a relationship, we jump into a church, and then as soon as we have a problem or a disappointment, we hop out just as fast as we jumped in, right? We've never taken root, never settling down. We're just hopping here, going to the workshop and this and that, hoping, seeking, trying to find something, but never landing anywhere. Some of us never jump in at all, and that doesn't work either. Sitting on the sidelines may be great for a Seahawks game, but you don't want to do that in your life. You want to jump in, and you want to discover who you are. You want to do the personal growth work that you need to do. And that's part of our purpose statement here at Unity of Bellevue, that we're a spiritual community that supports and nourishes personal growth. Because we want to realize that love starts first with God. And then we need to accept that love before we can share it with anyone else. That's true self-love. And that it's only when we love ourselves first that we can be clear conduits for God's love. And then we can put down roots. And we'll stick. And we won't be hopping all over the place in rocky soil. Now, there's a third, and before we get on to the good soil, there's a third kind of soil that, or consciousness that Jesus says that we must consider. And this is the seed fell among thorns, and it got choked out. This represents an undisciplined mind. You know, the thorny negative thoughts like, you know, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable. Yada, yada, yada. You know, and those are the kind of thoughts that choke the seed and keep it from growing. And so we need to ask the question, you know, what are my deeply seated beliefs and thoughts? You know, am I still holding on to some resentment here, some anger there? Is there still some unforgiveness that I haven't addressed or dealt with? You know, we need to get clear on what's holding us back, because once that soil is very, very rich, it can become very rich once we get rid of those thorns. You know, and when we have self-love, when we love ourselves, we can remove any obstacle that's before us. Anything can be moved from our way. It's only when we release the love that we've accepted that we can experience love. You know, and our soul's growth depends on how much of God's love we accept. And when we accept this love, wow, we begin to thrive. We absolutely thrive. And so the fourth and the last soil, the good soil, finally get there. Seed fell on good soil, representing a heart that is open and loving. You know, the heart that's accepted God's love, that is passing it on to others. You know, it's soil that's pliable and loose, you know, and you got to be willing to till the soil and get rid of the rocks and get rid of the thorns. You got to be willing to get your hands a little bit dirty. Get that dirt under your fingernails. Do the work that you need to do to forgive, to change your thinking, to open your heart to God's love, to love yourself, to release the love that is within you, so that that love can be released and go out into the world. And so as we end today, I want to share with you this wonderful reading from one of my favorite authors, Emmett Fox. It's a reading on love. Love is by far the most important thing of all. It is the golden gate of paradise. Pray for the understanding of love. Meditate upon it daily. It casts out fear. Love is absolutely invincible. There's no difficulty that enough love will not conquer, no disease that enough love will not heal, no door that enough love will not open, no gulf that enough love will not bridge, no wall that enough love will not throw down. Makes no difference how deeply seated may be the trouble, how hopeless the outlook, how muddled the tangle, how great the mistake. A sufficient realization of love, it will dissolve it all. If only you could love enough, you would be the happiest and the most powerful being in all the world. And so love is a divine activity. It's a cosmic power. It's a spiritual gift. Love is the energy of God. Let it guide you. Let it guide us as a spiritual community. Love is one of our core values. And when we love enough, when we let love guide us, personally and as a spiritual community, that's when we will be thriving, no matter what. God bless you. Namaste. I know who you are. God bless.